Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this podcast, we're going to talk about household debt composition changes over time. So we don't really talk about debt too much on Financial Samurai because I've been assuming that most of you guys realize that taking on excessive debt is bad and that taking on debt such as mortgage debt is okay if you run the numbers and if you can hold on to your property for a long enough period of time. Debt is what crushes rich people. You know, like some people, they have, I don't know, billions of dollars, and then they suddenly go broke. Something like maybe Donald Trump, who had to file for bankruptcy. Or, you know, like NBA ballers who play for 15 years, they make $150 million, yet they go bankrupt. Well, debt, excessive debt, is really what hurts even the richest of riches. Leverage is what crushes the economy once the music stops playing. So it's a really tricky thing, right? Debt is used to enrich your lifestyle, to fulfill your greed, and to live what you couldn't really fully afford if you had to pay cash today. And in general, it helps. It helps in the long run. But just too much debt is not so good. So I wanted to review some debt charts from the New York Fed, Federal Reserve, Bureau of Economic Analysis, and Morgan Stanley. So you probably want to check out the post to see these charts with your own eyes. But I wanted to go through these charts and then see if we can learn anything from these charts so we can become better investors and better financial freedom fighters. So the first interesting chart is that household debt has surpassed its 2008 peak. Now that number today is $13.2 trillion, and the peak in 2008 was $12.5 trillion. The bottom of this dip was in around, 2013 at around $11 trillion. So we're past the peak, which means, some might say this is a warning sign. But to me, it's really logical that we would be past the peak 10 years later, given population growth. You know, we've got about 7% more people in the United States today at around 327 million versus 304 million in 2008. GDP growth, right? Every year we're growing by 1.5% to 4% now. Corporate earnings growth, pretty strong, 10 to 15% every single year for the last several years. Inflation, you know, 1 to 3%. And labor force participation increases over the past 10 years. So one should expect household debt to be higher today. So don't be freaked out by any headlines that say, oh, household debt is at a record high way beyond 2008 highs. I think that should be a normal situation. So the second chart in the post shows that the composition of household debt has changed a lot since 2000. The two most worrying increases come from student loans, which account for about 10.1% of overall debt, and autos, which accounts for 9%. So if you look at the student loan chart, it's just gone one way up. It started getting tracked, I guess, in 2003, because that's where it starts, this chart. But it literally has gone from 3.6% in 2003 now to 10.1%. So that's a tripling. And that's really concerning in my mind, especially since the cost of education continues to go up, right? But the returns are getting smaller. So unless you're already rich, wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars going to private school, paying full price, is not optimal. Come on, folks. Your child would be much better off, or you might be much better off, investing the difference and sharing some of your savings with your child upon his graduation from a public school. The internet has democratized access to education. Things are free now online, right? YouTube, Khan Academy, Financial Samurai. You can learn from people who've done it in the past. You don't have to sit in a classroom all day for 4 years thinking about theoretical things. You can learn by doing as well, by taking an apprenticeship. So really second guess your choice of paying megabucks for education if you're not already rich. Now with student loans, at least you build some human capital. But with the rise in auto loans, all you're doing is buying a depreciating asset. And we talked about this before many, many times. The auto loans line is interesting because it's not as bad as the student loans line. So it peaked in this chart at around, let's say, 9.2% in 2002. And, you know, we're just under there. So we're almost getting back to the 2002 levels. So what this tells me is that there's a lot of headwinds in the auto industry. So if I was an investor, I'd be looking maybe to sell autos because it looks like there's a cap. And structurally, you're seeing the advent of self-driving cars and ride sharing. So I don't know how much people really need automobiles going forward. So please don't spend much more than 1/10 your gross income on a car. The next line is credit cards. Now, it peaked in this chart at about 11% of total household debt in 2001, and it's pretty much been going down since then. We're now at only around 6%, and that's fantastic news. Fantastic news because we all know that credit card debt is the most expensive debt in town. You know, we're talking 10% to 30% interest rates, which is frankly ridiculous. There's a reason why credit card companies have some of the largest market caps in the world. And there's a reason why credit card affiliate businesses are so profitable. They're counting on the irresponsible to carry a balance at an interest rate not even the great Warren Buffett can beat. And then finally, it's also to see that home equity line of credit debt balance seems to be following a straight line down since 2012. In 2012, the number was around 5.8%. And now it's only at around 3.6%. So perhaps homeowners have finally learned their lesson not to use their homes like ATM machines. With interest rates ticking higher, the cost of HELOCs are becoming less attractive. But the best news of all is that mortgage debt has fallen from a high of 73.6% during the financial crisis in 2008 to 68% of total debt in 2018. If we believe that a 5.6% swing is significant, then the below chart portends very good news for homeowners and for banks. I mean, if you look at this chart, it is literally just all the way down, although it looks like it's hit a bottom in 2018 and is ticking up a little bit. Bank executives will look at this chart and get more aggressive with their mortgage lending standards, in my opinion. Borrowers with lower credit scores should have an easier time getting loans. Less money down will be required to buy a home, given banks will allow for higher debt-to-income or debt-to-equity ratios. And with easier access to credit, more people will borrow more money than they could have in the past to buy homes at already record prices. Now, I'm just being honest here. So, as a result, home prices do have a strong structural tailwind. They've got the support from banks, which I think are going to be more competitive in trying to lend more money to their customers because they need to make profits. But of course, if their lending standards get too loose, then an inevitable bust will occur. And I don't think that bust is really, really going to be huge, but I think over the next couple of years, you are going to see more and more cracks in the housing market foundation. So pay attention to rising inventory, which is happening, falling rents, which is happening in some coastal cities like Seattle, New York, San Francisco, and the return of no money down and negative amortization loans. Those babies probably will be coming back in some form or another, and so you just have to be very, very vigilant. And there's a final chart in this household debt podcast, and that is the ratio of net worth to disposable income and the ratio of debt to disposable income. So the ratio of net worth to disposable income is right now at an all-time high at about 6.8. So in other words, we are wealthier today than ever in the past, right? So in 2000, that ratio was about 6.2. And in 2007, that ratio was 6.6. And now we're at 6.8, 6.9. So we're crushing it, folks. We are rich. If you don't feel rich right now, I don't know what's wrong with you. And then on the flip side, the ratio of debt to disposable income has declined from about 1.38 to about 1.08. So in other words, we're managing our debt more responsibly than since 2008. And this is a great combination. It's a really great combination. You're feeling rich and you have more manageable debt. But the concern is that during the past two peaks in 2000 and 2007, the ratio of net worth to disposable income also peaked right before the economy turned south for 1 to 2 to 3 years. And what's also interesting is that there was a flatlining of the net worth to disposable income ratio between 2014 to 2016. It was about at the level of 2006 and 2007. And then in 2017 and 2018, we saw this really big tick up from about 6.3 to 6.8. And I think that gave a lot of economists, analysts, and individuals a lot of surprise, like, wow, we got even richer over the past couple years when we were already feeling pretty rich. So I liken the collective boost in net worth since 2016 as sitting on a pile of the house's money. You know, you've been riding black for so long and you're just boom, 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 doubling up. And we can either use this free money, this house's money, to get even richer, or we can cash in our chips and give ourselves high fives for being richer than we ever thought possible. Now, I think the best course of action is probably to do a little bit of both. For myself, I've chosen to offload one rental property in 2017, paying down about 40% of my outstanding debt in the process. I've redeployed some of the rental property proceeds in the Heartland real estate area because I think they have more room to run because their valuations are lower and you're seeing a migration away out from the coastal cities and into the Heartland. I've optimized my cash with a CD step stool by taking advantage of higher short-term rates. And I've lowered my overall equity exposure by about 10%, so from about 70% to 60%. And so by doing this, I expect to be more protected if we go through a 1 to 2 year slump, which I don't expect happening soon, but I do feel the chances are rising that we will go into a slump somewhere around the year 2020 as the yield curve finally flattens or inverts. But at the same time, I'm playing aggressive offense with about 20% of my net worth with individual growth stocks and alternative investments that will hopefully pay off if the good times continue. So I never want to go back to 2016 net worth levels. I just want to be flat worst case or go higher. Please take a look at the charts when you have the time. Again, I want to reiterate that downturns don't happen when people feel the poorest, downturns happen when people feel the wealthiest. Thanks, everyone. And if you have any thoughts on the U.S. household debt levels and the composition changes, let me know in the comments and let me know how you're doing with your debt progression.